Hi, welcome to the Integrative Health Podcast with Dr. Jen Flegar. This podcast is meant to educate and empower about important health topics. Dr. Jen's passion is to get to the root cause of disease and prevent illness. She will also feature guests who are experts in their fields and experiences in all things related to integrative medicine.
Hello, this is Dr. Jen. Welcome back to the Integrative Health Podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe and give a 5-star review and share with your friends. Thank you so much for tuning in today.
Let's do a deeper dive into the topics of micro and macro nutrients essential for thyroid health. We'll also talk a little bit about how cortisol impacts thyroid function. So iodine is something that is a little bit controversial when it comes to thyroid health. I see it as a Goldilocks. You don't want too much and you don't want too little. So iodine is an essential compound of thyroid hormones. This is what gives T3, T4, T2 its names, how many iodine molecules are attached. And its deficiency can lead to thyroid disorders. We know this in third world countries. And signs of extreme iron deficiency, they do get goiters. So in these regions that have this, they develop these goiters and then hypothyroidism. But we also don't want too much iodine because that can lead to some diagnosis of Hashimoto. So we want it to be that Goldilocks. So it's important to ensure an adequate intake of iodine-rich foods like seafood and seaweed, but you don't want to overdo it. And that's what happens a lot of the times. So selenium is a powerful antioxidant that plays a crucial role in the conversion of the inactive thyroid hormone T4 to the active thyroid hormone T3. Without the sufficient selenium, this conversion can be impaired, and this can lead to imbalance of the thyroid hormone. And I do see this a lot in clinical practice where T4 will be normal, and then T3 will be really low. And we can't have that imbalance because T3 is the active thyroid hormone. Selenium-rich foods include Brazil nuts, fish, turkey, and sunflower seeds. And this can really support your thyroid health and that conversion. So with this, we will move on to protein. So you wouldn't think of protein as something you need for your thyroid. It absolutely is. Amino acids from dietary protein are essential for the synthesis of thyroid hormones. The thyroid gland requires the amino acid tyrosine to produce thyroxine T4 and thyrodoxin T3. Incorporating lean meats and other meats like red meats, poultry, fish, eggs, and legumes into your diet are essential for the building blocks of thyroid hormone production. So amino acids and protein also have so many other benefits. Carbohydrates too are really helpful with maintaining healthy thyroid function. And they can also help with that T4 to T3 conversion. Why is this? Sometimes if diets are way too low in carbohydrates, that can lead to decreased T3 levels because your body feels like it's going into starvation mode. This more so, I'm talking about women in the luteal phase, where we might feel a little bit too stressed if we're not providing those carbs to help with the progesterone and support our normal menstrual phase. Some micronutrients that are needed, vitamin D. Vitamin D should be between 50 and 70. If you look at the actual lab markers, they only flag it if it's less than 30. And that is still, that's really, really low if it's flagged. You want it to be between 50 and 70. So vitamin D is crucial for thyroid hormone production and function. It helps regulate the immune system and can help prevent autoimmune diseases. Natural sources of vitamin D include fatty fish like salmon and mackerel, dairy products, and exposure to sunlight. But I will say this is low in so many people. We're not getting that sunlight. We're not getting that D3 conversion. If you are taking D3, I would like you to take it with K2 also. Vitamin A is essential for maintaining thyroid hormone receptor sensitivity, and it supports the body's ability to respond to the hormone, thyroid hormones properly. Foods rich in vitamin A include carrots, sweet potato, leafy greens, and liver. And beef liver is just jam-packed with B vitamins also. And B vitamins such as vitamin B12 is really important for thyroid health. Vitamin B12 is involved in the production of DNA and RNA in thyroid cells, and a deficiency can lead to thyroid function that may contribute to thyroid disorders. Animal-based foods such as meat, fish, dairy products are a good source of B12, and beef liver, like I mentioned before. Zinc is necessary for the synthesis and conversion of thyroid hormones. It plays a role in protecting the thyroid gland from oxidative stress also. And men out there, zinc is really important for testosterone production. So include zinc-rich foods like beef, nuts, and legumes in your diet to support thyroid health. Now let's dive in a little bit to how cortisol impacts thyroid health. So cortisol is a hormone produced by our adrenal glands in response to stress, and this can really have a big effect on thyroid function. The problem is that we are chronically stressed. It's not just like it used to be. We're not just running from the bears. We feel chronic stress all the time, and this is really impacting our thyroid function. Chronic stress, which many of us are under, can elevate cortisol levels, can inhibit thyroid hormone conversion. So this high cortisol levels can disrupt the conversion of the inactive thyroid T4 to the active form T3 in our peripheral tissues. And this can lead to symptoms of hypothyroidism or poor functioning thyroid, even if the TSH, the thyroid stimulating hormone, levels appear normal. So this is when you're going into your doctor, you're like, I feel bad. And they're like, okay, we'll check your TSH, and your TSH is normal, and that's the end of it. But really, your other thyroid labs, the T4 and T3, are abnormal. Chronic stress and elevated cortisol can alter the hypothalamic pituitary thyroid, the HPT axis. Prolonged stress can disrupt the feedback loop between the hypothalamus, pituitary gland, and thyroid gland, and this can result in a dysfunction of thyroid hormone production. Chronic stress and elevated cortisol can promote autoimmune thyroid conditions. This chronic stress and elevated cortisol levels may increase the risk of developing autoimmune thyroid diseases such as Hashimoto's and Graves' disease. And I see this all the time in my office. As we are getting more and more stressed, especially post-pandemic, we're seeing a record number of cases of autoimmune diseases. And this chronic stress, which can also be due to chronic viral infections, can really have a profound effect on autoimmune diseases. Go into some detail about some of the thyroid lab work so you can use this as a reference. So we're going to explore thyroid binding globulin, which is TBG, in great detail. So thyroid binding globulin is a protein produced by the liver that plays a crucial role in transporting thyroid hormones in the bloodstream. So this is very important to comprehend how thyroid hormones are carried in the body and how alterations in this thyroid binding globulin levels can impact thyroid function. So the actual structure of thyroid binding globulin, it's a glycoprotein, meaning it has carbohydrates, glycans, in addition to proteins. These glycans can affect how thyroid binding globulin's ability to bind to thyroid hormone and other molecules. So thyroid binding globulin serves as a carrier protein for thyroid hormones, primarily T4 and T3. The majority of thyroid hormones in the bloodstream are bound to thyroid binding globulin rather than circulating freely. So if you're going to have more thyroid binding globulin in your bloodstream, it's going to bind up more. We also see this with sex hormone binding globulin with relation to our sex hormones, and sex hormone binding globulin is increased by birth control. So back to thyroid, thyroid binding globulin has a high affinity for thyroid hormones, meaning it binds tightly to them. And this binding helps protect the thyroid hormones from rapid metabolism and excretion. So this ensures a stable supply of thyroid hormones to target tissues. So the role of thyroid binding globulin in thyroid hormone transplant. Binding and releasing is really important, and thyroid hormones are lipophilic, fat-soluble, and as such, they cannot dissolve in the watery environment of the bloodstream. So the thyroid binding globulin provides a means for these hormones to be transported safely through the bloodstream by binding to them. When they're bound to thyroid binding globulin, thyroid hormones are shielded from degradation and released gradually as needed. Thyroid-binding globulin helps maintain a stable concentration of thyroid hormones in the bloodstream. And this acts as a reservoir. It stores extra thyroid hormone when levels are high and releases them when thyroid drops. Pretty cool how our body can work like that. This ensures that the cells and tissues throughout the body have a constant supply of thyroid hormone to regulate metabolism and other functions. And this can be important in women that are newly pregnant. This can be important if someone is really stressed in times of fasting, illness, or if you forget a dose of thyroid medication, if you're like me and had to have thyroid surgery. So there's many different factors that influence thyroid-binding globulin levels. The first is hormones. So estrogen in particular can influence thyroid-binding globulin production. Elevated estrogen levels, such as those seen in pregnancy or taking oral contraceptive pills, can increase thyroglobulin protein already, production already. This also can lead to a higher percentage of bound thyroid hormones. And this can result in symptoms resembling hypothyroidism despite normal levels. So this is a problem and seen quite often in women that have estrogen dominance-like symptoms, and they're having problems like with their liver health also. So because thyroid-binding globulin is produced in the liver, liver disorders can damage and impact their levels. Liver diseases may lead to decreased thyroid-binding globulin production, and this could affect the transport and availability of these thyroid hormones. Some individuals may have variations in their thyroid-binding globulin gene that affect the structure and function of the protein, and this can also lead to altered thyroid transport, thyroid hormone transplant. Medications such as steroids can influence the thyroid-binding globulin levels. These drugs can increase the thyroid-binding globulin production, and this is going to lead to changes in thyroid binding and availability. So when we're testing thyroid function, we can test the total thyroid hormones, which include bound and free, and then the thyroid-binding globulin levels can influence these measurements. But to get a more accurate of thyroid function, the free thyroid hormones are usually measured, and that's what I like to measure. For estrogen and then pregnancy, we touched on estrogen a little bit. It's important to understand the impact of estrogen and pregnancy on thyroid-binding globulin levels when interpreting the thyroid function tests. So if a pregnant individuals or those taking those estrogen-containing medications like birth control, which has conjugated equine estrogen, thyroid function tests may show a total hormone level elevated due to increased thyroid binding globulin, even if the thyroid function is normal. So this is where the free levels come into play. And it's also why pregnant women are told to increase their thyroid dose by sometimes up to 25% right when they get a positive pregnancy test, because they're going to be making more estrogen, more, and then more sex hormone binding globulin, more thyroid binding globulin hormone. So more of that free thyroid floating around is going to be taken up. And if you're not producing more on your own or you can't, you're going to have to increase your levels. So now let's talk about another lab, thyroid anti-TPO, thyroid paradox antibodies. So thyroid peroxidase antibodies, also known as anti-TPO antibodies, these are really important to me because they're elevated in Hashimoto's. So first, let's talk about the structure and function of thyroid peroxidase. So this is TPO we're going to be referring it to. It's an enzyme found primarily in thyroid follicular cells. It plays a central role in thyroid hormone synthesis. It's essential for the iodation and coupling of tyrosine, that amino acid, residues, and thyrobinding thyroglobulin molecules, leading to the formation of thyroid hormones, including T4 and T3. TPO is located on the apical membrane of thyroid follicular cells, where it catalyzes the oxidation of iodine ions, I- to iodine, I2, and their subsequent attachments to tyrosine residues within the thyroglobulin. So anti-TPO antibodies are antibodies produced by the immune system against the enzyme TPO. And these antibodies target and attack the TPO, leading to destruction and impairing its function. So when we have autoimmune thyroid diseases, these elevated levels of TPO antibodies are hallmark of these autoimmune thyroid diseases, particularly Hashimoto's thyroiditis and Graves' disease. You'll see them elevated also. These conditions involve the immune system. Mistakenly identify these thyroid antigens, including TPO, as foreign invaders and mounting an immune response against them. And a lot of time this happens due to molecular mimicry, to disruptions in the gut microbiome, parasites, mold, the list goes on and on. So why is this significant? Well, in Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is the most common cause of hypothyroidism in the United States, TPO antibodies play a central role. They lead to the destruction of the thyroid follicular cells, resulting in a decreased thyroid hormone production, and then you get hypothyroidism. And these high levels of antibodies are associated with this condition. Now, what we want to do is reverse that and reduce those antibodies and get our body to stop attacking itself. And that's what's so important. And yes, this can be done. Because a lot of the times endocrinologists are saying it can't, and it can. So what about in Graves' disease? So while the TPO antibodies are more associated with Hashimoto's, they're also present in Graves' disease. I see this all the time. Graves' disease is an autoimmune condition, and it's characterized by hyperthyroidism. So in Graves' disease, these TPO antibodies may not have a direct effect on thyroid function as they do in Hashimoto's, but their presence is still there. So how do we diagnose and monitor these? So the TPO antibodies are usually measured by good providers that are really great at diagnosing thyroid. They're measured along with other thyroid function tests, such as thyroid stimulating hormone, TSH, free T4, and free T3. And elevated TPO antibody levels, they often indicate an autoimmune thyroid condition, even in the absence of symptoms, because your thyroid is compensating for this. So you may not have the symptoms of hypothyroidism yet, because you haven't disrupted and destructed enough of the thyroid tissue. So sometimes it goes underdiagnosed until you have the actual hypothyroid symptoms. And that is not too late, but late. And then you might not be able to get off the thyroid medications. So thyroid ultrasound can also reveal structural changes in the thyroid gland associated with autoimmune thyroid diseases. In Hashimoto's, for example, the ultrasound may show a diffusely enlarged thyroid with this heterogeneous texture. And when I see a heterogeneous appearance on the ultrasound, it's almost always associated with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So clinically, high levels of TPO antibodies in thyroid Hashimoto's thyroiditis can lead to a gradual decline in the thyroid function. This is resulting in the clinical diagnosis of hypothyroidism. And patients with elevated TPO antibodies, when their thyroid is burnt out and destructed, then they might have to take thyroid hormone replacement to maintain normal thyroid levels. In some cases, individuals with elevated TPO antibodies may transition from hypothyroidism to hyperthyroidism, especially if they have Graves' disease. And this transition is due to fluctuations in the autoimmune activity and the thyroid hormone levels. It's almost like the swinging between Graves and Hashimoto's, hyper and hypothyroidism. I also see that a lot in practice. Now, in pregnancy, elevated anti-TPO antibodies in pregnant women may increase the risk of thyroid function during pregnancy and postpartum thyroiditis. And this, you will definitely need proper monitoring once a month thyroid function tests. And if you are pregnant and you have a history of thyroid disease, or even if you don't, selenium 200 micrograms postpartum is recommended. And there has been studies showing that that helps reduce the autoimmunity. So now let's talk about thyroglobulin antibodies, known as TGAB. They're also known as thyroid globulin binding antibodies. So these are antibodies to what we talked about earlier. So thyroglobulin is a large glycoprotein produced by follicular thyroid cells. It serves as a precursor for thyroid hormones, T4 and T3. Thyroid hormones are synthesized with thyroglobulin molecules by incorporating iodine into the tyrosine residue. And then these thyroglobulins, they also store the thyroid hormones in its structure. So then they carry them in the blood. And then when they're ready to use, they're released. So for autoimmunity, elevated thyroglobulin antibody levels are associated with autoimmune thyroid diseases, particularly Hashimoto's. And in Hashimoto's, the immune system mistakes these thyroid antigens, including thyroglobulin, as foreign invaders and mounts the immune response. So for thyroglobulin antibodies, this is detected often in patients with Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And this autoimmune condition is what leads to the hypothyroidism. And the thyroglobulin antibodies also contribute to the destruction of thyroid follicular cells. This is similar to the TPO antibodies also. Now, this lab work is also important for thyroid cancer monitoring. And in thyroid cancer patients who've undergone a thyroidectomy, which the thyroidectomy is a surgical removal of the thyroid gland, thyroglobulin is used as a tumor marker to monitor disease reoccurrence. However, the presence of thyroglobulin antibody can interfere with the accuracy of the thyroglobulin measurements. So patients with detectable thyroglobulin antibodies levels may require specialized thyroglobulin assays that are less affected by the presence of thyroglobulin antibodies. And what I believe is that you need to reduce the autoimmune disease and fix it. So in summary, thyroglobulin antibodies, also known as TGAB, are autoimmune antibodies produced by the immune system that target thyroglobulin, a crucial protein involved in thyroid synthesis. Thyroglobulin antibodies interference can affect the accuracy of thyroglobulin measurements, and this is more particular in the context of thyroid cancer monitoring. So if you are out there, you're listening to this, and you are concerned that you have something going on with your thyroid, get a full panel. Okay. Make sure you're getting TPO, make sure you're getting anti-thyroglobulin antibodies. So then you can make changes to your lifestyle before you have that follicular cell disruption. If this was exciting for you, if you want to learn out more, if you want me to be your coach, if you want to be my patient or client, please reach out for more information and I will help you as much as I can. Please subscribe and share this information far and wide.
This podcast was created and hosted by Jen Flegar and is for informational purposes only. It is not medical advice. This podcast disclaims responsibility for adverse effects from use of information contained in this podcast. This podcast does not promote opinions of their guests of their own and does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests of the show or endorse any qualifications for the guests of this podcast. Guests may have financial disclosures. If you think you have a medical problem, consult your personal physician or team. Thank you for joining.